This year's donations might go to, say, the geology department.
Oh dear, not the dirt people.
Geology is the study of pressure and time. That's all it takes, really.
What kind of activity has turned the lake massive? Look, I'm just a geologist. I like rocks. I love rocks.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Geology Flannelcast. My name is Steve.
Hey, everybody. This is Chris.
Guten Tag. This is Jesse.
I like it.
Yeah. Switching it up.
Brilliant.
I'm rusty. We've been gone so long because I was traveling, backpacking through Germany.
Ah. Collecting rock samples. Got it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was in the Jura Mountains.
Ooh.
Home of the Jurassic. The original Jurassic Park.
Nice.
Please, someone stop me from this lie before I go anywhere.
I just want to see where you're going with this.
Are the Jura Mountains in Germany?
No, I think they're in France.
I didn't think so either, but it's like I wasn't 100%, so I was just going to let you go with it.
You know, sometimes I listen to other podcasts, strange but true, and I'll hear things that are incorrect. And I'll think to myself, I'll be like, oh, that's not right. And I'll be like, ooh, people probably do that a lot when we talk. But I feel like we acknowledge our shortcomings.
Yes.
I'm acknowledging. Yeah, they're
I
on the.
I feel like we also call each other out when there's
some
funky business going on.
The French-Swiss border.
Yeah. Of course.
Of course.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah,
and everyone let's face it, knows that
Jesse's backpacking trip didn't make it that far.
Yeah, I got held up at customs. I've been stuck in an airport for 6 weeks.
You mean 3 months?
Yeah.
Yeesh.
Anyway, it feels good to be back, gentlemen.
It does. I've missed you all.
Yeah,
you know, I say absence makes the heart grow fonder.
There you go. Yeah. So welcome everyone. Thanks for listening. Thanks for our Patreons who are chiming in. We had a good, like a 45 minute chat this before our podcast today. So yeah, thanks everybody for chiming in today. What are we talking about there, Chris?
Well, we're going to kind of a topic we've touched on before, definitely talked about it, but there's been kind of some updates to it. So we're talking about the Anthropocene again today. So
interesting pronunciation.
This was one of the things
here we go
that I was nervous about because I don't know how to say it.
I say the Anthropocene.
Yeah, I think I say the Anthropocene too, but I'm okay with Anthropocene because it's kind of it's how I pronounce other things in my life.
It sounds a little like I like it. Anthropocene. Yeah.
I don't know.
It's got like attitude to it.
Well, Anthropocene. I mean, you're really emphasizing some of those syllables there.
But it's like anthropogenic input on the landscape. Yeah. So I say Anthropocene.
I realized the other day I say the word cement instead of cement. Mm. I was like, oh, there's cementation going on. Like, I'm like, oh, that's
cementation. That's I'm okay with. Cement, I'm not.
Yeah,
what about
it's a little hillbillyish? Sorry,
no,
good,
it's fine.
Good friend of the podcast, Himalayas.
Oh, yeah. Versus the Himalayas,
Labradorite.
No, it's Labradorite. It's from the Isle of Labrador in Canada. So,
nomenclature.
Nomenclature. I had a sixth grade teacher who. She Caribbean versus Caribbean.
Oh,
like it was a big thing to her and she wasn't sure. And it like sent her down a spiral. And this is, you know, the late 80s. So there's no like Googling it. So she had to go into like, look up the Encyclopedia Britannica on how the pronunciation was for Caribbean.
Couldn't you just go into a dictionary and just look up the,
the dictionary gave it both ways. So it was like a,
oh,
now what?
Well, dude, if Webster's saying it goes both ways, then
yeah,
That's good enough for me. You know, pick your poison.
There must be, that's good on your sixth grade teacher for having the self-awareness. I had a sixth grade English teacher who called robots robots.
Anyway, what are you calling robots? Just
probably why
graders.
I
was like,
probably why I
giggle all the time.
You know, yeah, probably why I say cement.
speaking of robots, we need to congratulate our flannel caster here, Steve Peterson.
Oh yeah.
On his BattleBot being nationally ranked right now.
Yeah, our woodsman, the 30-pound sportsman, is now nationally ranked, and we were invited to the national championships in San Jose, California.
Ooh, scenic San Jose.
Yeah, so shout out to my cousin Dan, who's actually going to fight, because I have to give a talk that day at an international right-of-way conference. Yeah,
wow.
What would you rather be doing, fighting robots in a national championship or giving a talk at an international right-of-way conference?
Ditch that
almost
talk.
As prestigious.
Right? pretty darn close. So,
is this right-of-way thing? Just like, yield to the bikers.
it's like basically Department of Transportation kind of conference.
So. What are you? Okay, we can talk about this later.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, what business do I have doing giving a talk at one of those conferences? Yeah. Zero.
Yeah, you want to?
You dressing up as like a traffic car or what's it?
Yeah,
you have your little stop sign. You know?
Yep.
You cross the crossing guard.
you want to get into nomenclature or whatever, and talk about what the roundabouts are called, because some people call them roundabouts. Some people call them rotaries.
Rotaries? Yeah. I've never heard
rotaries.
Of that.
Yeah.
Where do they say rotary? Is that Boston or was Boston?
I was going to say, I think that's a New England thing.
Circles.
Circles. Yeah.
Circles. Yeah. Yeah. Traffic circles. Yeah.
But I tell you what, they're few and far between here in southeastern Pennsylvania. But I remember there was some talk, there was a terrible intersection in the suburb I live in. And there was some, like, they're trying to think of like traffic calming measures, and it stinks too, because the sidewalks just end and there's signs everywhere like do not cross, and people are like, it's an intersection with stoplights, like why can't we cross?
Yeah,
because it's, and so there was some talk about putting a circle in, and people lost their minds. But it's funny because our town has a circle.
Yeah,
so it's not like, but it's in like, it's in a very like pedestrian area with like shops and stuff, but it is, you can tell people who do not know how circles work versus people who do.
Yes. But circles are the wave of the future. Like with automatic driving cars and things like that. And
they are great.
It's funny. Our town just got a $400,000 grant from PennDOT to put in crosswalks at a Five Points that already has crosswalks. Like I don't understand where this almost $500,000 is going. Like, where are they going to repaint lines?
It's going to be gold flaked crosswalk.
I don't get it. I mean, yeah, anyway, but yeah.
So the circles only work if there's one lane. When you add a second lane to your circle, it all goes downhill.
It really does.
What's the road in Jersey going up north?
Yeah, near like Flemington. Yeah.
That's a nightmare. It's like three lanes and there's one that bypasses it.
Ugh. Yeah. I always feel like it's like a car chase scene in like Mission Impossible or something. Yeah.
I always think of National Lampoon's European. Yeah,
Big Ben.
look, kids. Big Ben Parliament.
Yeah.
Anyway. So.
Yeah.
So we're talking about rotaries today. The geology podcast here.
Okay.
All right. So the Anthropocene.
Why don't we just do this? Well, I got it on my mind. While we got, you know, we're flowing here. Why don't we talk about how nicely formatted we have our outline for today?
And yeah, except that we are nowhere near on our outline.
We got off of it. We stuck to the format.
We did. So we'd like to thank the formatting formula.
We'll get the business over and done with early, right? And then we'll
formattingformula.com or YouTube.com/C/formattingformula for all of your Word document formatting needs. I was just talking to them last week. They got like 7 dissertations last week to format. So, wow. Yeah. And you know,
and they're tedious. Dissertations are so tedious.
Yeah. And they range from like, okay, you just need a little tweaking to English is my second language and go. So the formatting formula can handle it all. So check them out, formattingformula.com. Please make sure to tell them that the Geology Planetcast sent you and you would like your document formatted in African elephant units. I don't know. Yeah.
Windings.
Windings. No. Is there anyone that can read Windings?
I don't know what the point of that font was. Like, it was ridiculous.
There's got to be someone like that the learned folks who, it. Like, yeah, who learned like fake languages.
Probably just. There's a Netflix doc about Windings. You know there is. It's caught up in some crime ring.
Yeah, you come upon the police find like notes written in Windings.
Yeah,
like, what am I supposed to do with it? Someone get me Microsoft 98.
Yes, so I can read but this. Speaking of Windings, like, I this is gonna make me sound old, but kids these days, like, they don't know how to write. Like, I get like emails with like emojis in them. It's like, hey man, like I'm very casual with my emails, but come on.
You do realize like our grandparents were like, kids these days don't know how to do shorthand. What's the world coming to? Like, yeah,
shorthand, I get, but like, you know, kids these days can't read cursive.
Like, yeah, that's our shorthand, right?
Well, do you think someone in like 1870 was like, kid, I just got a letter written in Morse code. What am I supposed to do with these dots and dashes?
But I hope so. I hope there was an 1870s podcast about angry people with Morse code.
There, yeah, it was, yeah, two guys talking to a horse or something. I'm sort of with Steve on, there's a balance. You got to find a middle ground. Mm-hmm. Please stop sending me emails saying that you have bad vibes today. Like, I don't, one, know what that means. I assume it's not good, and that's why you weren't in class. Like, also, you don't need to send me an email if you don't come to class. That's on you.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I agree. All right.
So the Anthropocene.
Yeah.
Anthropocene.
What should I call it today? Should I call it? I don't know. If I'm going to say the now it's like in my head. I can't.
Anthropocene. Yeah.
So there was a little bit of a debate. Okay. So like, let's go to the beginning. What exactly is the Anthropocene? So I guess the thought process is that humans have had such an impact on the Earth that, and it's all over the place, evidence of humans, and it's even starting to show up in the rock record. So it's starting to say, we've affected the Earth so much that we are in a brand new geologic epoch right now. And it's, and they're calling it the Anthropocene. So there's a push to try to say like the Holocene's over and we are now in the Anthropocene.
But there's also a debate whether or not it's a new epic or just an event.
Yes.
Versus an epic. You know, so if you look at the geologic timescale, they're broken down into different, I guess, chunks, if you will.
What do you mean? Like,
eras chunks. And chunks,
time windows. Geologic.
You got stuck in a loop here?
Who,
like,
me?
Yeah. Should we go? Should we talk about the different parts of the geologic time scale? Eons and eras.
Yes, I guess we should quickly. Yes. So we have, every time I open this geologic time scale link, it keeps saying page not found.
Which one? Have so
memorized, Steve.
But no, I did, and with the times.
So here's this is a legitimate question. So like, what time scale do you use?
I was looking up the GSA one.
Yeah.
But I mean, guess we should use the, what the IT.
The International Commission of Stratigraphy.
Yes.
Yeah. With the golden spikes.
Yeah.
You know, I finally saw a picture of a golden spike. It's not as spiky as I thought it would be.
No, it's, I'm picturing like the Transcontinental Railroad where they actually like hammer in a golden. Yeah.
No, it's just like one of those little, like surveying, like bronze.
Yeah.
You see like in the rock at like a top of a mountain or whatever. Is it actually made of gold though?
Ooh. I think it is.
Ooh. We should, we have a list. They give you coordinates. We could make some money.
Oh, I know we're getting super off topic. Where's, how many, are there any in the United States, have they come up with ones for the Pennsylvanian and the Mississippian periods in the U.S.?
I'll let you know here in a second. There, I mean, there are in the U.S., there are golden spikes.
Yeah, there are some in the Carboniferous.
Because when did they recognize the Mississippian and Pennsylvanian? For a while, they, I know that they didn't.
Well, the International Chronostratigraphic don't recognize the Pennsylvania and Mississippian.
But I thought, well, recently.
So they do.
Oh, no, no. I guess they do. Yeah, I guess they do.
They do it as a subsystem.
Like a sub period?
Yeah. And I mean, they call it, you know, so it's, they call it the Carboniferous system. So here's the thing, the stratigraphy, you know, the chronostrat. Yeah, they do eonthems, which are just eons, eras, and they have systems, which are the same as periods. Series and which are the same as epochs. So yeah, so they have the Carboniferous, and they do put a subdivision for Pennsylvanian, but they only have three golden spikes in the Carboniferous, one at the Mississippi and Pennsylvanian boundary, which is, I'll tell you here in a second, somewhere, it's in Nevada, Arrow Canyon, Nevada. And so that's one of the things is like, where, oh man, how we should.
I mean, I guess that there is one that differentiates between the Carboniferous and the Permian. So I don't know
if
that is in the, like, yeah.
Yeah. So the boundary, usually the big boundaries, they, and that one's in the Urals, or no, sorry, that one's in Kazakhstan.
Shout out to Kazakhstan.
Shout out to Kazakhstan. The other ones.
Thanks to all our Kazakhstani listeners out there.
The Devonian.
Devonian.
Yeah. Devonian Mississippian is in France. I'm trying to figure out if that's the lower boundary. I think it is. I think
it is. All, it's the lower Mississippian, upper.
Yeah.
Devonian.
So here's the thing, and so like the time scale, just I guess really briefly, right? So the time scale, if you think about the big time scale, we use GSA a lot. It is weird that GSA is doing something goofy.
You can, right, only, like, find, it's not working, right?
You can only find the 2018 version. Yeah, nothing's working.
Yeah, so yeah. I don't know.
They just sold their headquarters. Maybe they
threw
their computer out.
That's probably it. Yeah. So you have like the eon, the era, the period, the epic, and the age.
So I was just gonna say, so the main, the eons, right, are the big columns you see. So if you picture the geologic time scale, or if you've never seen it, if you haven't, Google it. It's four columns, right? And so it goes from the Precambrian, which is sort of tricky. So here's the thing about the whole geologic time scale. None of it is symmetric.
Yeah, none of it's actually to scale.
Yeah. So the Precambrian is like just a group that, you know, technically is meaningless, because the Precambrian is just a way in which they can make it look nice.
Yeah.
Because the Precambrian is made up of three different eons. the Hadean, the Archean, and the Proterozoic.
Yeah, so the Precambrian is almost like a supergroup, if you will.
Well, Hadean,
yeah, the traveling Wilburys of geologic time, if you will.
Yeah,
the Hadean's not an official.
Sure it is.
Sure it is.
I thought it wasn't.
No, it is.
You need to
come on, man.
It was.
You gotta step up your game, Chris.
Yeah,
only because I'm looking at the time scale right
and they're
now.
They're actually putting. This is kind of crazy. I don't know how they're going to do this. Yeah, they're going to actually formalize it. I think they ratified it in 2022.
Okay.
Yeah. So the Hadean.
I'll cut you a break, Chris.
Yeah. So the Hadean, named after Hades, right? Because it's hot and hellish.
So they made it official in 2022. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Yeah. 20.
Oh, okay.
And so that's 500 million years, which is the same amount of time in the other three major columns.
Right.
So, and then there's the Archean, which is like the ancient. And then all of the other eons, the Proterozoic, and then the three columns, Paleozoic, Mesozoic, Cenozoic, are all named based on life. That's what Zoic is. And so Proterozoic is pre-life, Paleozoic is ancient life, Mesozoic is middle life, and Cenozoic is recent life. And so we make all these distinctions, or the time scale when it was set up, there was no way to put numerical ages on things. So it was all based on sort of fossils and what they could see in the rock.
Yeah.
We got that. Got that right?
Yeah, I got that right. Very, very well put.
Right. Thanks. So now we're talking about the perhaps the newest time chunk yet still under debate as to whether it's an age, a stage, or an epoch. Definitely not.
Apparently, if you're British, epoch.
Sorry, epoch. But from what I understand, it's still not a period, right? We're still in the quaternary. From everything I read, right?
Still, like, yeah.
So
it would be a new epoch,
right? So you have eon, big chunk of time; era, big but smaller chunk of time; period.
Eons like billions of years. Eras are like hundreds of millions of years. Periods are like,
but again, it
tens of millions of years.
They all vary, but like basically as I'm talking, you're getting smaller in time. So eon, era, period, epoch, stage/age. So we're talking. Well, let's start talking about brass tacks. Let's talk about years. How many years are we talking for the Anthropocene?
So it depends on
Anthropocene.
Anthropocene. I can't say Anthropocene. I can't do that.
Anthropocene.
Anthropocene.
So it's there's a bit of a debate where to start the beginning of the Anthropocene. So apparently there was a
If you're a fan of the podcast, which obviously you are if you're listening, we did talk about this back in 2014, believe it or not, 10 years ago with one of our beautiful, wonderful contributors to the podcast, Gary Stinchcomb. So we talked about the Anthropocene back in November of 2014, and I'm trying to find the...
I remember that episode like it was yesterday.
Right?
I really do remember that episode very vividly. It was good. Yeah. We had a great conversation with Gary.
That was a very good one.
Yeah.
Episode 16.
Huh.
Right? Wow.
Yeah. Like, so
we're at, this is 168.
Yeah. So
how about that?
Gary's been on a few times. So
has he? I only remember once.
I thought maybe only once. I don't know.
Anyways. Okay. So there was a vote. It was a little subcommittee called the Anthropocene Working Group. And what are they a part of? Look at this article here. Anyways, they're the ones that are trying to come up with like the start of the Anthropocene. So it's not so much like, you know, do we want to say the Anthropocene or not, or apparently the fight is, where do you start it? There's so many different places that could serve as a good starting point. So you know, it's like, what are we looking for a starting point? And
And yeah, circling back to our time scale that we were talking about and our quote unquote golden spikes, like there are there's strict criteria as to what makes the differentiation from one time to another time. But like these golden spikes are put in these like type localities of like, yes, this is the first time you're seeing this fossil. And or maybe this is the last time you're seeing this fossil. And they put a gold, literally put a golden spike in the outcrop that is that type locality for that time period. And, you know, from that time period on, everything has changed. Either that fossil is now prolific or that fossil is now gone. So we're trying to find that spot to put
And
that
it's
golden spike for the Anthropocene.
And they're saying it's, well, technically it's a location in time and space. So it's a multidimensional, you think about
Yeah, yes, correct. Yes, because it is somewhere in space, and then it's somewhere chronostratigraphically, like age dating wise.
So some of the things that, you know, people are looking at is, you know, what do you consider the change that humans had on Earth? Like what's the biggest one? Or you know, some people were looking at there's one spot I'll talk about it in a second, but like there's a specific lake where they think they, or you can see like the geologic signature of humans. You can see them recorded in stalactites in caves, coral reefs and ice cores. So there's a you could look at evidence of nuclear weapons testing. All right, so looking at things like plutonium fallout, which, because
Is it
you guys know the
cesium 131?
137,
137, sorry. Hey.
strontium 90. But the thing with plutonium is that plutonium's like super rare on Earth, and is
I
that
don't
not,
even know if it's naturally occurring. I think
or
it's only
something,
man-made.
is it only that, maybe that's what it is,
Yeah.
it's only
That's,
man-made.
I mean, same with, isn't trinium the same way? Hydrogen three.
Okay. So if you're seeing any plutonium, it's not from Mother Nature.
Yeah.
No, so like there's lots of examples where you have like a teeny tiny pocket of this one fossil or this one plant or this one whatever that may have arisen well before it arose globally. And these international scientists say like, okay, yes, we recognize that this may have been in this little tiny pocket of, I don't know, Australia for a million years before it went global, but we don't count it until it went global. So yes, there's lots of little evidence of human interaction with the planet all over the place. I mean, all over Africa, millions of years ago. I guess what we're looking for is some sort of ubiquitous global evidence of human impact on the planet. Hence, anthrope, right? Human, people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, so there's other things that we can look at are, actually, here's the one that a lot of people are looking at. The rapid increase in atmospheric carbon 14, also caused by nuclear weapons, thermonuclear weapons testing. There's man-made deposits like all these like microplastics, and I didn't know about this. Jesse, did you ever hear about this one? Because you're a big fan of the Carboniferous. Oh, actually, that's never. I mean, coal, burning coal.
And
Spheroidal
Carboniferous. Yeah.
carbonaceous carbonate. All of the above. All of the above. Spheroidal carbonaceous particles. I never heard of those.
Spheroidal carbon, like PAHs?
S. Oh, It's a type of ash produced by burning coal at high temperatures.
Huh. No, but I mean, that was one of my that was one of my arguments would be, yeah, how do we define this? And I think geologically, like, we're talking about these geochemical ways, like these geochemical signatures. But I think, I mean, you find just geologic evidence otherwise, not just geochemistry. I mean, they're very definitive. Humans produce this, but we have other incidences of humans altering the planet prior to that, right? We've been burning coal, yeah. So we've been producing those things for a long time. We've been digging big holes in the ground.
Yeah, farming changes the landscape of a specific area, changes it forever. But I guess ubiquitously, like across the planet.
But I mean, yeah, I mean, it's tough because especially when we think back, you know, we look at some of the other divisions and like the rock record in some of these time periods is very limited.
Yeah.
So the change we're seeing in the rock record is distinct and definitive and allows us to put a boundary. And where we find those rocks, maybe we see that same thing, but it doesn't necessarily mean that change happened everywhere. Because we only have limited.
So yes.
And so my whole thing is like, part of it is, you know, are we overthinking? Are we being too strict? And I'll just straight away say, like, I think I'm okay with them not placing the boundary because it's tough to make a division and a boundary when you're in the midst of something.
Yes.
I do think we're altering it. And this is an anthropocentric time, but I don't think you can set the bound for it until after the fact.
Yes, I think the easy answer is atomic bomb testing. Like, boom, you can see that everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So at least from 1950 on, we're in the Anthropocene. But the question is 1950 too late? Is it actually prior to 1950, going back to, I don't know, 1750? And in geologic history, in geologic time, you know, who gives a crap about 300 years? But as you get closer in time, you get higher resolution. That's why there's like, you know, a lot more golden spikes in the last, you know, 100 million years than there were in the previous 100 million years, because we have that higher resolution of data for the more recent stuff.
Yeah, it's like looking at a sea level curve of the last 20,000 years versus the last 20 million years or 200 right. million years. It's much more the higher resolution. It's the same reason we have three columns in the geologic timescale for the past 500 million years and only one for the previous 4 billion years.
Right, yeah. Exactly. So, I hear your argument and I'm with you, but at the same time, that doesn't make for good podcasting.
Especially when we're in the middle of it right now. Yeah. I kind of agree with both of you as well. I don't know. My whole thing on the Anthropocene is just, is it too soon to say that, like, okay, I'm not denying like the change that, you know, humans have made on the Earth, but it's like, geez, guys, geologically speaking, we just started the Holocene here, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like, we're just the engines is warming up, you know? Like, no, but it's just like, you would like, it just seems like for me, maybe I'm misunderstanding it, but it's like the whole thing, like Holocene is like the dawn of humans, right? Aren't we already saying like humans are here? Why, like, do we have to have a thing saying like, oh, this is when they really ramped it up a notch?
That is a very good point as to like, yeah. All right, humans are here. And that was a, fossil change. But right, now,
because the Homo sapiens go back like 200,000 years, so into the Pleistocene. Yeah. So that's a good question. What is the start? What's the official start? What event, or what is the official start of the Holocene? Because it has to do with the end of the Ice Age, right? Because the last Ice Age, the Wisconsin Ice Age, started. It maxed out at 18,000 years ago.
Yeah, they put it at the end of the. It was the end of the Younger Dryas, I think.
At the end of the Younger Dryas, okay.
Which is 11,700.
11,700, yeah.
So the Younger Dryas plunges us back into Ice Age conditions. And so it's the warming.
Yeah, so we're technically still in that Ice Age coming out of that Ice Age.
Yeah.
So I guess it's not.
And the golden spike for the Ice Age is in the Rip 2 ice core in Greenland.
Ah, that's a great ice core.
It is. it's one of my favorites.
Yeah. I thought Rip 1 was good. Rip 2 was so much better.
Oh, don't get me started.
I'm on the edge of my seat for Rip 3, but I cannot wait for it to come out.
Ripping and ripping.
I think in Rip 4 they fight the Russians. So
so that's interesting. So they have a golden spike, not in situ.
No, it's in a core.
It's in a freezer somewhere.
I guess they set it out of depth in the hole, but yeah, it's in the core. It's
14... No, they sent a mouse down the hole with a little hammer and a little tack.
1492.45 meters into the ice core.
Mm.
The 2 mile time machine. That's Richard Alley wrote a book about ice cores. Nice. That was the title. Yeah. It's a good book.
Pretty catchy title.
Yeah. It's a good book.
Yeah. We'll have to add that to the geology podcast book club.
Yeah. The biannual meeting of the book club.
Yes.
There we go.
Michelle's not one of our great Patreons. Michelle's not listening, but or she's not on as a Patreon, but mark that down, Michelle. She's probably off in some like super grand adventure. Like,
she might be in Greenland right now.
Yeah.
It's very well could be.
Yeah.
Traveling.
So.
Well, so what's today's date? We're recording this on March 27th at 10:23 p.m. But
Eastern Standard Time.
Eastern Standard Time. A couple weeks ago, on March 5th, the Anthropocene Working Group supposedly voted on a start of the...
Not supposedly, they did.
What I'm reading here is...
allegedly.
Media reports suggested.
It would be good to turn this into a conspiracy. Allegedly, they voted on this.
They voted on it, they rejected the proposal that would officially...
They didn't have a full quorum. It didn't count.
Yeah.
So it's not about the, do we need an Anthropocene or not? The group just, they can't decide on when to start this thing.
Yeah. I get it. I can't decide on what to eat for dinner. So.
Hot dogs.
All of these are hard decisions, you know?
Yeah. It's like I said, I think, we all agree it's geologically super duper recent.
Yeah.
So with
The other thing about this, let me just say this. Let's throw this thought experiment out. Okay, so humans, we go our course of life, whatever, and just say, I don't know, 400 million years, some aliens land on Earth, right? And they're looking at rock cores, and you know, if they saw humans, like, I guess, would the effect of humans, at least I'm just thinking like in the geologic record, maybe there's other things I'm not thinking of, and let me know if I'm not thinking of them. But if humans go and we go through our course and then see you later, goodbye, we go extinct eventually, like everything else does, would like an alien culture or something like that be able to see our effects in the rock record 100 million years from now? 200 million? Like, would it be, my whole thing is, would it be, or as of right now, would it be just such a short, tiny amount of time that it wouldn't even, it would just be it'd be such a small blip. It wouldn't even be a blip, you know?
I would like to say, I would like to think yes.
And geochemically,
I think you could.
And that's sort of my question is like, what will show up in geologic time? Like, will some of these geochemical markers, like, will you always be able to find tritium? Or I always ask my students to, like, think about what like a landfill would look like in the geologic record. You know, you take all this organic material and you just bury it. What's that going to,
what will that turn? Heavy metals.
Yeah.
Batteries, lots of batteries.
We've got, yeah, batteries and coal and mercury. I don't know.
The mercury is just oozing out of the landfill.
Yeah, I don't, but it's sort of like when we look for life now, we look for these geochemical biomarkers, right? We look,
yeah,
like when we looked at Venus and we saw the phosphine. It's these things that we know life on Earth produces, but not just humans, just all life.
Yeah.
So I don't.
Yeah. And George, one of our Patreons, brings up like a good question. When it's over, would it be better to define it once it's over? Like, so far for the geologic timescale, we haven't really, you know, other than the Holocene, we haven't really defined anything until it's over. So that does pose a good question. But then there are also, and to follow up on George's thing, like humans prior to 1950 don't have the atomic signature in our bones. Humans after 1950 do have the atomic signature in our bones. So there is something theoretically we could be, if we were deposited in the right conditions, you know, someone could dig us up millions of years from now, check our bones, and compare them to, I don't know, Australopithecus or something like that, and see like, oh no, this guy didn't have this cesium-137, but this person did have cesium-137. So there should be a differentiation geochemically, kind of like, you know, you can look at fossils these days and geochemically fingerprint them to like, hey, these fossils have these rare earth elements that is a signature of this national park. Therefore, if people are selling those fossils, like, hey, those are illegal fossils because that has that geochemical signature. So I think in the future, millions of years from now, even though it's a tiny, tiny bit, you should be able to differentiate between before the atomic bomb and after the atomic bomb.
Well,
so know, that's so where that's why I think that at a minimum is the line. But I think it can go prior to 1950.
What's the significance of this? Like, why does it matter if we define the Anthropocene or not? Who cares? Like,
you know, there's lots of people who say that about our jobs in general. Like, who cares if it was the soil back in the Miocene? I don't care what those hippos were eating. Come on. We're scientists, man. This is what we do. We debate.
No, but it's just like, and kind of like Jesse kind of said this a couple, you know, a little while back, but are we just being too nitpicky and too like, is this too much? Like, just like really, like, you know, I don't know. Diving too deep. Like, who cares?
It's the scientific curiosity of humanity.
Yeah, especially
in our field, man. Like,
yeah,
you know, who cares what the coastline looked like 10,000 years ago, Chris?
But the point I'm trying to say is like, that's like, it kind of goes against like with your argument too. It's like, well, okay, well, yeah, it's happening right now, and I guess part of what I'm saying is like, you know,
how do you define it as it's happening?
How do you define it as it's happening, and then who's also to say like something doesn't, we don't do something 100 years from now. It's like, oh, I don't know. Did yeah, something that, else. That, and it's like, whoo, look at that. That, you know, like,
yeah.
So, yeah.
The Roboto like, scene.
Yeah. You're trying to.
This is when the robots took over.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And
it's only a matter of time.
The other thing is like, and then if we decide to turn like end the Holocene, it'd be the quickest epic on the geologic time scale. If we end it like just say like now or whatever, in 1945 when the first atom bomb test happened in New Mexico. But of course, we end that the Holocene super short. Who's to say what's the line for the next? Like, when does the Anthropocene end and turn into like, you know, like something else?
Like I said, the Roboticene.
Right. So that's where I was always been kind of like little. I've always been critical, I should say, of the Anthropocene, and I've honestly never had an argument that nobody's ever posed an argument towards me as like, this is why we have to have it.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. Like, that's literally fair. I was just at the Northeast section of the Geological Society of America's meeting in New Hampshire a couple weeks ago, and I was talking to some friends from different schools literally about this topic, and I used to be in favor of it, and now I've changed my mind, and I'm like, yeah, you know what, I'm fine with their decision for all the reasons we brought up today. And like, they were aghast at me. They're like, no, it's distinctly there. You know, I think some of them do geochemistry, so that's their shtick. But yeah, the whole conversation was, you know, what defines it and when it starts. None of it was, you know, do we? And I think part of it maybe is just that it is just, it's very clear that humans have impacted this planet.
Right. And especially from a geochemical standard, like, you know, for OSL dates and things, like, you need to know, do you have to adjust for the 1950 variant or not? Right. So from a geochemist perspective, like, absolutely, there's an influence, because now I have to change all my math because of this. And I get that. But, and Chris, to your point too, yeah, it doesn't really freaking matter. But, you know, if you ask a general person, unless I'm mining you minerals for your batteries or your oil or, you know, some sort of other tangible good, what am I doing for the world?
Well, you know, I think it's being used to let people know about, you know, it's the action of developing this Anthropocene epic is just to let people know how much humans are affecting the Earth.
Yeah. And I think the answer is
it's a crap ton. I think it's more of a societal thing than it is an actual, like, you know, a geologic thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And So I agree.
And so that's always been my thing, is like, does it deserve to be here? Or like, it sounds like it's more like, maybe, you know, because I know, like, it's used in more of a biologists tend to use the term Anthropocene more, and or some kind of, yeah, there's something about I don't want to botch it, but
no, I can see how we have affect the biospheres significantly, you know, microplastics, like acidification, you know, just endangered species, you know, yada yada.
I think it is the biologist that, or, you know, there's a more biologists tend to use that term than anyone else. And yeah, so I was just kind of thinking
yeah, and I don't want to be caught dead on the same side of the fence as biologists, so
it's unfortunate.
I'm kidding, love you, biologists.
Yeah my wife's a biologist, or she is a biology major. She doesn't do biology now.
That's my wife's a zoology major. She doesn't do zoology either.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Well, so, man,
did we summarize anything, or did we just debate for an hour?
I think that's the heart of the question, I suppose. But yeah.
So, all right, how about let's do this? Let's go around. If you okay, let's just say.
Let me just, sorry to interrupt.
Go ahead. No,
I'm really excited right there, Jesse. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just thinking like many of the divisions we have in the geologic timescale were all, as I said, based on before we could accurately date things. They were just based on events.
Okay.
And I think a lot of them are based on dying events. So like, you know, the
mass extinction events.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so like, yeah, there's the argument that we're in the sixth great.
Well, and that's, yeah, I mean, that's a different debate for a different day.
Yeah.
But I would say they're sort of end events, right? And we're trying to define the start of something. I don't know. It's, yeah.
That's anyway, no, I like it. So what you're right. saying, it's up to the robots to decide when the Anthropocene started and ended. And then for whoever's after the robots will decide when the Robotocene.
The starting point is when they decide to take us out. That's
right, but they're not allowed to decide when the starting point is, according to your logic.
The robots?
Yeah.
Well, it's when
whoever takes out the robots then gets to decide when the robots started and ended.
That's a good point.
Yeah, well, you know, lawyered. Sorry.
Yeah.
I never thought about that. All the other time periods are when...
not all of them, but most of them.
Most of them.
Like, you don't hear, like, the end Permian being like, this is when the mass extinction event started. I guess you don't know. You know what? You just...
No, I mean, like, the Pleistocene and Holocene, I guess, technically are within human lifespan, correct?
Yeah, Pleistocene and Holocene, yeah, because Homo sapiens go back, like, at least 200,000 years.
So, you know, we're still in there, but anyway, yeah, it's an interesting debate. Your view on how important it is depends on, I guess, what your line of study is. Like you said, biologists, like, you know, yeah, there's a lot of things that are different now because of us humans, biologically speaking. And that's gigantic deal. And we hear about it all the time. Like, and we're trying to right our wrongs. Somewhat, but from a geologic perspective, I guess I think there is a line that is definitive enough that we'll be able to see millions of years from now to be like, yes, humans impacted the Earth. And whether or not you even want to call it humans impacted the Earth, like millions of years from now, you might not know that the humans did this, you know. For all we know, there were humans 65 million years ago, and it wasn't, you know, it was an asteroid and a nuclear war. Who knows? We do know it wasn't both, but you know what I mean? Like
a dinosaur nuclear war,
right? Yeah, you know,
that'd be pretty sick.
But you know, 100 million years from now, there's still going to be that geochemical signature. Whether or not they'll be able to discern that we did this. Versus, I don't know, the sun had a weird event or asteroid, whatever. You know what I mean? But there's definitely something that's going to be in the rock record that you can tell there's a line in the sand.
But how long is it going to take in terms of like the carbon-14 in the atmosphere? You guys know how long it's going to take that problem to fix itself?
27 and a half years. I don't know.
Well, that was my question too about like, yeah, what is, like, what's the staying power of, like, we can detect cesium or hydrogen or whatnot. I guess you find things like steel, like the pre-bomb steel that they're trying to find now, right?
Mm-hmm.
For their medical equipment and whatnot. And so that leaves a lasting impression. But what is the staying power of some of these other geochemical signatures? Do they get diagenetically altered? Do they? How long do they decay away? Like,
because you get the rock cycle kicking in. So, you know,
yeah,
eroding rocks and you know,
yeah, I mean, but Wilson cycle is like 200 million years. So,
yeah, and I think we have like supposedly with the way the mantle is and the Earth's been cooling down, we have one last supercontinent left in the Wilson cycle.
We just
can't wait.
Just take all of the plutonium and put it in a trench so it gets sucked down in the mantle and it's like nothing to see here. Yeah. Problem solved.
Yeah, or maybe we have two or three Wilson cycles left, who knows.
Yeah.
Well, how about this, if you had to pick an event, what would it be for the beginning
to end it all? Phew. Yeah, I've been waiting for this question.
So Jesse doesn't win the Powerball.
Well, shoot, I bought a ticket today.
Jeez.
What is it up to?
Like 900 million?
Yeah, something. Ooh. Yeah, something ridiculous.
Ooh. A lot. So if you had to pick an event for this, what would you guys pick? What would be the start of this thing?
To be the start?
Yeah, what would you pick? My personal pick, I think the like 1850, the start of the Industrial Revolution.
I was just thinking that, like,
when was the Bible written?
When was the Bible written?
I'm kidding.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, sorry.
I thought you were too political there. No, in my mind, I thought you're going back to Gutenberg's printing press. Like when
I was seeing Gutenberg's too.
That yeah.
Was,
printed that's, the Bible. I was like, what does that have to do with anything? Like,
yeah, what a that paper doesn't save. but yeah, no, I was thinking the same thing too. Like, we start creating these factories, and that's sort of the question is like, when does the Industrial Revolution start? And you can start thinking about like when we start mass burning, because we've always burned fossil fuels, you know, not always, but we've been burning coal,
massive amounts of it. Yeah.
Since, you know, we've been human, but yeah, it's the mass burning.
But the only caveat I have to that is the agricultural aspect of it. So farming changes the landscape to the point where you should be able to detect that geologically. The question is it global enough that it counts? Other than that, I would say the Industrial Revolution.
I mean, you're going to see changes in pollen. It still haunts me.
No,
pollen.
So, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Is this PTSD for you right now?
But I do think that, yeah, the changes in pollen, it changes the whole like biogeochemical cycle of how like we move carbon around our planet, and you know, yeah. it definitely, I don't know, has an impact.
Well, once we went from nomadic to like I'm drawing a blank, but non-nomadic.
I don't know what lifestyle. More of a stable. Yeah.
Yeah. Staying sedentary. Sedentary. Yeah. Thank you.
But we're not really sedentary. They're working hard.
No, shit, but they're staying. Now. They're staying put.
Yeah. Staying put power.
Staying put power. That does have an effect on a landscape, but again, is that just a microcosm and it doesn't really count because it's not across the whole planet that you can see, because that's what I feel like the experts in this field are looking for. Like, it doesn't have a global impact versus like, okay, you could see C4 grasses like, I don't know, 2 million years before you see it all over the planet, but you only see it in this little pocket in like Nebraska or something. Does that count as a change in geologic timescale? Well, no, because it was only, you know, this is where it started and nucleated maybe, but like until it rapidly grew across the planet, this is, that's when it actually counts. So,
well, God, I'm trying to think, because the farming, I think of farming like as like an individual farm is like, oh, it's a local thing. But I guess, and then you think of like burning. So I guess what I'm trying, I got my, the image I got in my mind is, okay, you have a localized farm. It's just affecting that area in a, you know, whatever spot. But like you start burning fossil fuels, that affects a much broader region.
Yes.
Is there any way that farming affects a much broader region that I'm not thinking of?
Yeah, if you like burn a forest down to plant, you know, potatoes or corn or whatever, both of those things were in the Americas. Yeah. But you understand what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, in the modern, you know, 100%, like,
oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm trying to think of pre 1850.
Yeah. I'm thinking, 8,000 years ago.
Right.
But in the modern, but I feel like you can see evidence of agriculture in the geochemical signatures from 8,000 years ago. I don't know what, don't quote me on that. Luckily, right, we're not recording this, so you can't come back at me.
We tell him?
Chris, don't tell him.
Should we break the news to him?
I thought we're, are we just hanging out? I thought we're just
no, we're just hanging out. Carry on.
Now let me talk about how the Earth is flat.
Yes.
And I think this is the heart of the fact that like we're stuck on it.
Yeah,
and we're not. You know, we have enough expertise that we know enough to talk about it.
Yes.
But like, think about the people on the committees who like have dedicated themselves.
Yeah. To, like, and their lives and their research to this. Yeah.
For like decades.
And yeah. And so like, you know,
I mean, this has been debated since like the late 90s, early 2000s.
Early 2000s when the term Anthropocene kind of popped.
Yeah.
Up.
Yeah. So, yeah, so over a quarter of a century.
I think this is a good
microcosm. About a quarter of a century.
Our little debate here is a good microcosm of like what they're dealing with.
Yeah, the pitfalls and the, yeah.
And quite frankly, if we can't settle it, no one can.
That's true. We are the premier geology podcast, and let's face it, like, we can't figure it out.
Then there, may God have mercy on their souls. I don't know.
Yeah. Right? Like,
yeah. If we're struggling this much, can you imagine?
Yeah.
Supposedly people are saying, there's something here in this article about the methane from the first farming could serve as a marker. But methane, I don't know how that would work, because methane doesn't stay in the atmosphere for all that long, a couple decades, right?
Yeah, not, and I think 90 time. Years is residence time. Yeah, 30 to 90 years or something.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had some methane releases that have...
I feel like you're trying to... Is that a joke or something?
I was going to make a crass joke, and I just...
Like, but you've worked on...
2 seconds into it, I gave up.
You worked on coal gasification, so you've literally dealt with methane releases.
I have definitely. Oh my God. And I still have PTSD dreams from that almost blowing up.
Oh, wait, was that the day that we were supposed to meet up and you texted me? Like,
we were at the bar and we're like
looking out the window waiting for an explosion to happen.
If we see a fireball, we'll know
Steve's not coming.
Yeah. We can give up the chair we've been saving. It's just a table for two now.
Good times. Yeah. Spoiler alert, I didn't blow up.
As far as you know, unless this is...
This is all a dream.
This is your purgatory.
Yeah, just reading Word Up magazine.
Oh, Yeah, easy E up in the limousine.
Yeah. So
goodness. Well, I think we solved it.
I think we solved it. This is really just a lost episode, and this is Steve's purgatory.
We will we'll submit a summary of our findings to the
International Chronostratigraphic Committee.
Yeah, we'll just drop
the Anthropocene Working Group.
Yeah,
and let them
we'll
know.
Just drop them this RSS link, and then. Yeah.
this should help you out.
I hope.
Thanks, committee. You're welcome, committee.
You're welcome.
See, they're responsibly like from Billy Madison. Like we are dumber from listening to this.
May God have mercy on your soul.
Anyway, yeah. So it ain't so easy. So take it easy on them.
Yeah. They're literally doing it for free.
Yeah. But thank you everybody for listening. Thank you to our Patreons who are hanging out with us and listening. We really appreciate you, man. As my 14-year-old would say, appreciate you, man. That's not annoying at all, hearing that from a 14-year-old. But
well,
I'm gonna teach Taylor that.
You should. In 13 years, you can teach him that.
No. Right now.
It's immediately. Okay.
Yeah.
Go. I'll wake him up.
Yeah. Here. Here. Eat this, and then he's just gonna be like, "Appreciate you, man."
Well, I think this episode's run its course, fellas.
It has.
I guess you could say we're out of time.
Oh. Now that leads us right to it. What song are you taking us out with, Jesse?
There's so many, but the only one that's been running through my head the whole time is the Rolling Stones' "Time Is on My Side."
All right. Yeah.
I was wondering where you go if you go to a song about like the end of time or the song.
I was also thinking REM, "It's the End of the World."
Yeah, that song popped in my
head. That's what I was thinking too.
Those were the two.
So can we get it on record right now, Jesse? If you win the Powerball, we're gonna buy the rights to all these songs that you suggest, and we're gonna put them at the end of each one of these 168 episodes.
I'm gonna release a box set.
Is that all right?
Which is something that I think only we know. Speaking of generational differences,
I'm not sure if people listening to podcasts know what box sets are, but yeah.
I'll ask my class tomorrow morning. Hey, do you know what a box set is?
Like, yeah. Oh man.
I just saw an ad the other day watching the NCAA tournament. It said, like, if you've ever made a mixtape, chances are you need to have a cancer screening. It's like, oh my God, that's terrible. And yet accurate.
Yeah.
So
I never, I have made mixtapes. You used to have to listen to the songs on the radio, wait for
it. Be ready to hit record.
Yeah, ready and just sit there, pop, you know, get that. Yeah, yeah. Oh man, kids do not know that anymore.
No.
Or how about burning a CD?
Yeah. How about listening to a whole entire CD?
I did that the other day. I sat down and I just listened to an entire album all the way through, no breaks. Just right? I sat in this chair. The way it was meant to be, yeah.
They put a lot of time and thought into that.
Yeah,
like the same idea of like even early on, like downloading on whatever
Napster,
Bear Share, like you avoid the viruses.
Bear Share,
LimeWire.
That was,
but it was 40 minutes for one song to download.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
I 3 megabytes
on like was it LimeWire? What one of those things?
Yeah. The Napster.
Music videos, and it taken like forever to download a music video.
This guy with his bandwidth.
Yeah, wow.
I'm on 56K. Yeah, yeah.
what a sound.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. Kids don't hear that. Kids these days. We started off the episode talking about kids these days. We're ending the episode talking about kids these days.
Well, it's apropos thinking about time.
Yes.
Right.
And that's, it's human nature to make these divisions. Gen Z, Gen X, Gen Y, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Meaningless division.
So I'm pretty sure we're in different generations, gentlemen.
Yeah.
I was born in the '70s.
You are distinctly Gen X. Wow. I am in the no man's land of 1982.
It's millennial. Millennial started 80,
81. Yeah, elder millennial.
Elder.
Wait,
if I'm Gen X, who's Gen Y?
Gen Y was after millennials.
After millennials.
Oh, Jesus, man.
I know. None of it makes sense. It's all made up.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you're the three people still listening.
Yeah. Once we say thanks, everybody, it's like.
Whatever podcast I'm listening to, I listen until the very bitter end.
Just because of this.
You're too lazy to press the stop button.
Well, I know there's some gold. There's some nuggets in there. Sometime.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's where the magic happens. This is where I can say things.
Yeah. Well, at the end of this podcast is some nuggets, but it ain't gold.
Yeah, this is the methane spewing out right now.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks for hanging out.
Bye. Thanks for stopping. Bye.